Our Father, we thank you for Acts chapter 6. We thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and so we ask that you would light the way, that we would see the truth, and that the truth would set us free. Lord, we pray that we would grow in our love for you, grow in our love for your church, that we would be eager to join together and to declare your greatness to a world who needs to know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life is full of choices, and we're forced to make decisions. Sometimes the choice is easy. When it's the choice of dessert between lemon meringue pie and anything else, you always choose lemon meringue pie. There's no prayer needed for that choice. It's just obvious. But there are other choices that are much harder. Which car? Which house? Which job? Even which city? These feel like the big decisions, and the answer isn't always clear. There are lots of factors to consider, and while the Bible has something to say about our motivations and our priorities, the Bible doesn't make the decision for us. Since Beck and I were dating, we knew that we wanted to be involved in Christian ministry. But the question was, where? What ministry should we be a part of? We had both been dramatically impacted by the university ministry. Both of us had grown so much while we were part of it, and we both loved it. And so was that where we were supposed to go? Or was church ministry the right place for us? And so we went to college not sure where it would lead, what decision we would make. There are lots of good options out there to choose from. And that's what makes decisions so difficult. Now in Acts 6, the apostles had a dilemma between two good choices. But in the end, they knew that they couldn't let the good distract from the best. So whether you're a Christian or not, listen up. Because these verses tell us about the church's priorities. In the church, there's always more to be done. There's more programs, more visits, more ways to serve. But churches, and church leaders especially, need to be able to distinguish between the good and the best. So looking at these seven verses, they divide neatly into two sections. First, in verses 1 to 4, we see the dilemma. Serving tables or serving prayer and the word. And then second, in verses 5 to 7, we see delegation and blessing. And the call is clear. Don't let the good distract from the best. And so first, in verses 1 to 4, we're faced with that issue. Will the apostles serve tables or serve prayer and the word? Verse 1 sets up the story. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So what's the context for these verses? Since Pentecost, the church has been growing. On that first day, 3,000 people joined their ranks. These new members of the church were all sharing what they had. And chapter 2, verse 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Then in chapter 3, Peter and John heal a man who couldn't walk. The crowds gather. They proclaim Jesus. They get arrested. But the people are glorifying God. Then, in the second part of chapter 4, the church was still loving each other, united despite the opposition. Some sold their property and placed money at the apostles' feet to give to the poor. In 5:14, we're told believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. The apostles are arrested again and released again. 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Arrest and hardship didn't stop them telling people about Jesus. And so we come to chapter 6. We come to the complaint. The church is growing. We've just seen that in the last few chapters. The church is growing despite all their persecution, despite all the hardship. Jews are believing that Jesus is the Christ. He is the King, risen from the dead to rule and reign over this world forever. He'll one day come to judge all those who oppose him, and the only way to escape that judgment is to submit to him, to trust in his death and to find forgiveness in it. But it's not just the Hebraic Jews, the one from the region of Israel. Now there are Hellenistic Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, who've come to Jerusalem from the greater Roman Empire where they had once lived. And the administrative burden on the apostles was just too much. There were too many widows to look after, and one group was getting the short straw, and they weren't happy. This is a big moment for the church. It is the first time we see that they aren't united together, that there is a problem. The straw has finally broken the camel's back. They'd been through pressure from the authorities and they'd managed to stick together. Ananias and Sapphira had lied to them, but God had dealt with that. But now the cracks were showing. This is dangerous. See, this is the same kind of complaining that the Israelites did when they were in the desert with Moses. Over and over, they'd challenged Moses, complained about the food and the water. Over and over, God would judge them. Disease, poisonous snakes. Something needs to be done. The apostles can see that they can't do everything in the church. It's too much for them. They have to either hand something over or everything just stops completely. They have competing priorities. Verse 2, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Now that might sound dismissive to our ears, as if that was beneath them, but that's actually not what's going on. They show how important this work is of caring for the poor in the church in verse 3. They don't just palm it off to anyone as if it doesn't matter. The qualifications for the seven men selected are serious. Verse 3, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. This is the establishment of the first deacons in the church. We call them deacons because of the Greek word for servant and service. So these people would deacon or serve tables, caring for the poor widows, while the apostles focus on the ministry, the service, the deacon of prayer and the word. The apostles didn't let the good distract from the best. They knew they couldn't do it all, and they knew that their task was primarily to proclaim God's word, building up the church, seeing people saved. And so they decided to delegate the service of tables to others, respected, wise men, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, there aren't any more apostles today. Apostles were for the beginning of the church. But in Acts, we see the ministry of prayer and the word get passed on to the elders. There's lots that could be done in the church, lots of good things. Churches can run a soup kitchen, establish an op shop, run fun social events for its members to come and to be built and to build up the community. They all have their place. But an elder shouldn't drown in the organizing of these things and so be distracted from the primary task of prayer and the word. Do you have dreams for this church? I do. I dream of us reaching the lost for Jesus. I dream that when you say you're part of Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, people will know what you're talking about. That we will be known in the community as a place that cares for others, which serves the and loves the community. But I know that I can't do it all alone. There are so many good things that we could do as a church. We could run not just one mainly music, but five. Or we could run a play group for kids, for young kids. We could have a crafty club each week where people can come and do their knitting and crochet and chat with people in the church. We could run a men's shed and have men come in and do things with their own hands. All of it would be good to do, us making contact with the community around us, providing us opportunities to share the gospel with new friends. But I can't do it all. And Alan can't do it all. And Bill can't do it all. We are to focus on prayer and the word. But is there something you could do? We'll think about that more in a minute. In these verses we're told, don't let the good distract from the best. There is lots that a church could do, but if the elders don't have time for prayer and for the ministry of the word, which is passed on to elders from the apostles, we are failing in our job description. Verses 1 to 4 show the competing priorities of serving tables or serving prayer and the word. And in verses 5 to 7, as the church takes the apostles' advice, we see delegating and blessing. The apostles knew they couldn't handle it all. They couldn't concentrate on both caring for all the widows in the church and giving their focus to prayer and the ministry of the word. The Greek-speaking Jewish widows had been left out because they couldn't handle it all. They made mistakes. They overlooked people. It threatened to split the church. And so they handed it over to the church. You, find some qualified people, they said. And this church, both Hebraic and Hellenist, looked around at the members of the church in Jerusalem. And who did they choose to look after the widows? Did they try and get the right proportion? Did they work out that, well, 40% of the widows were Hellenists, Greek speakers, and so they would have three of the seven. There'd be three Greek speakers and the other four would be Hebrew speakers or Aramaic speakers. No. All the men chosen were Greek, have Greek names. And while it's true that some Palestinian Jews had Greek names, like the Apostle Philip, it seems likely that the church decided to elect from their number only Greek speakers. Can you imagine that? These were the people who were complaining that their widows were getting left out, and the local Jewish Christians decided that they would trust them with their own widows. This is radical. Just imagine a group of people in their 20s coming into this church, and they stick around and they become members and they get involved. But after a year, they start to complain because they don't feel loved. See, the music isn't to their taste, and the church doesn't really seem to care about that. They're not fans of the organ, no matter how well it's played. The hymns are unfamiliar to them. What would you be willing to do with this group who feel unloved in our church? If we were to do what the church in Jerusalem did, we would give these young people complete control over the music in the church. Would we even think to do that? Certainly wouldn't be my first instinct. Would they take advantage of the situation and do it all their own way? See, they'd complained about their musical preferences not being taken into account. When they have power, would they then not take into other people's preferences into account? Here's the danger. This is incredible trust that the local Jews are placing on the Greek-speaking Jews, that they would take care of their own widows. The names of these first seven deacons are listed in verse 5. And then in verse 6, they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. The church voted them in, selected them, and the apostles officially set them apart for the task. They prayed for them and laid their hands on them, just like Moses laid his hands on Joshua, delegating authority to them for the task. And how does it all end? In turmoil, as the power goes to the deacons' heads and they start to show these Hebraic Jews a lesson by not feeding their widows as payback? Well, absolutely not. Verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. God blessed the church as others cared for the widows. The apostles were freed up to proclaim Jesus as the Christ, and they saw many more people coming to faith. Even priests were repenting and placing their trust in Jesus. See, they'd come to believe that the sacrifices at the temple weren't needed anymore because Jesus is the great sacrifice. He's the one that all the sacrifices were pointing forward to. He is the one who died in the place of sinners. The good wasn't distracting from the best anymore. Now that they delegated authority, God was blessing them as the apostles were freed up to tell people about Jesus even more. Now, if you're not a Christian, this might seem completely irrelevant to you. But I want you to see how the Bible says the church should be operating. This is how we're supposed to work. We are saved by Jesus, and so we love and care for one another. And you, if you're not a Christian, you could join us by placing your trust in Jesus like the priests did. Place your trust in Jesus and be forgiven of your sin. The elders can't do everything in this church. Like everyone else, we have limited time and we have God-given priority. Prayer and the ministry of the word. We can't let the good distract from the best. That doesn't mean that we only ever do prayer and Bible teaching, but those are our priorities. And I'm thankful that there are other people here who take on the load. We have a board of management who takes care of the finances and the property. That's an important role, and it can't be left to just anyone because we're not a business. We're a church. We have spiritual priorities, and the people who are on the board need to have spiritual priorities. We're not here to store up wealth and make a profit and build up the bank balance. We're here to steward what God gives us for His glory. If we had those who were qualified and interested, we could set them apart as deacons to care for the practical needs of the congregation, to visit the sick and to care for the poor. What would happen if all the members of this church devoted themselves to at least one ministry, one activity in the church, just one? The possibilities are endless from what you could choose to do. Why not ask Diane or Jeff and Annette or Margaret or Beck or me about mainly music and what that involves? Why not become a helper in Sunday school before the service? Be there as that extra person, that helper, while Beck teaches the lesson. Certainly free me up in the mornings to be able to do some other things. Can you help with the ladies' high tea? How about getting together with one or two other people and deciding that you would be an encouragement to our missions partners? You'd form a team to encourage our mission partners, that you would pray for them and then encourage them by sending them a letter or an email, keeping up regular contact so that they would know that we as a church love them and pray for them and care about them and are thinking about them. The ministry of the Jerusalem church wasn't done exclusively by the apostles. And the ministry and the activities of the church here shouldn't be done exclusively by the elders. And thankfully they're not. But there's always more to do. We have so many opportunities to make contact with our community. But I can't do it on my own, and neither can Bill or Alan. There are so many good things we could do, but if it was just us doing it, then that would distract us from the best, which we've been set apart to do, prayer and the ministry of the word. And so here's the challenge as we read these verses. Are you ready to take on some of the load? Just one task. What good thing could you do so that we as a church can do the good without being distracted from the best? And as we all do our part, we can all be praying that God would do what he did in Jerusalem and that he would multiply our numbers as more and more people are exposed to the gospel and believe. Let's pray that our God would work among us. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we praise you. We praise you for the church that you love, the church that you have established, the church that you've given that great task to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And our Lord, we know that we are to love one another and care for one another, that we are to serve one another. Our God, we pray that you would make us into the people that you desire us to be. That we would do all that we can. That we would work together. That we would understand our role. And that we would all be eager to see this church do good things and great things. That we would see people saved. Made disciples of Jesus. That we would see disciples grow in their love of Jesus. And we pray this all for his glory. Amen.